Be turning in your Bibles to James chapter 4. James chapter 4. It's great to see each one of you here today. I'm especially thankful today. My youngest son gets the opportunity to hear me preach for the first time, at least not muffled through the womb and the water and all of that. So I'm thankful that that Reese is able to be here. I'm thankful that James has been released from the hospital and that he's able to be with us today. It's a good day, and it's a day of thanksgiving because we have so many of our prayers that have been heard. All of them have been heard, and they've been answered in ways that we had hoped they would be, and that is giving us many reasons to give thanks this morning. Of course, it's always a day of thanksgiving when we get the opportunity to remember our Lord and what He's done for us and the love and sacrifice He was willing to give on our behalf. It always makes it an awesome occasion to be able to come and be together. I want to start reading in James chapter 4 in verse 11. This particular paragraph probably could have gone with our lesson for last week. We just ran short on time and weren't able to fit it in. And so I figured it would be something that we could spend some time today talking about. James says, as we continue on through our study in the book of James, he says in verse 11, "Do not speak against one another, brethren. He who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge of it. There is only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and to destroy. But who are you who judge your neighbor?" You know, this is, I would imagine, has always been a hot topic of discussion. Ever since the time that these words were written, I imagine that the idea of judgment or judging one another has been something that has been discussed and debated, and it certainly is today. We spent a good bit of our class this morning with the young people just talking about all the things that are going on in the world right now. All the things that are going on in our country. All the anger that is being shared and just thrown in their faces and what they are seeing. You know, something happens politically, and it's not just those of us who are older that see all the fallout from that. It's getting thrown right in our young people's faces, and they also are having to deal with that. One of our young men said that, you know, something like that happens, and then, you know, for the next 3 days on Twitter, it's just only anger, and it just depends on which side you fall to see what the focus of that anger is, whether you are angry because it happened or you're angry because what didn't happen that you think could have prevented it, or you're angry that you think this is the person who caused it. And we talked about how difficult it is really to live out the words that James is writing to us. when everything, and we were looking at Tim's article this morning about how everything, you know, faster is better. Everything fast, fast, fast. And some of the consequences of information being faster is that you end up with these initial reactions that come out as anger. And so quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger is really difficult to do in our day and time. Because everything is, don't take the time to hear, react quickly, get angry quickly, be quick to judge this situation. And James is trying to tell us that the position of judge is not one that we should see for ourselves. He's talking about, and obviously the first part of what he says here is describing the way we treat each other, the way we treat our brethren in Christ, the way that we treat our family right here. And I think that needs to be our first application. Our first application needs to be the way that we interact with one another right here as members of this body that meets here in Conway. And so James, this chapter, the entire chapter has had some really difficult things to say to the brethren who to whom he's writing. And earlier in the chapter, what we talked about last week, the idea of quarrels and conflicts, he talked about the division that happens because they're envious of one another, and they're trying to remain kind of friends with the world and also part of the kingdom of God. And James says that's not possible. Friendship with the world is actually hatred toward God. It is strife and enmity. And so there's been a lot of difficult things that James has had to address in this particular chapter. And the one he's addressing now is speaking against and judging your brother. In chapter 3, he said that the entire chapter really is talking about the way that we speak, the use of the tongue. And this is just one of the examples that he's kind of using to flesh out what he said. The idea of speaking evil against each other, or speaking words of judgment against each other. And he's already said about the tongue that with the same mouth we bless God and we curse man. And he says, brethren, these things, they shouldn't be this way. They shouldn't be this way. And so this part of the chapter here in James chapter 4, talking about not judging one another, in verse 12, he ends up saying there's one lawgiver and one judge. There's only one person who's able to save and destroy. So you got to think about how he's looking at this from two different perspectives. Judging one as one who is saved, judging one as one who is bound for destruction. We simply don't have the ability to make that decision or that call in either direction. We can't unseat God on the judgment seat and pretend like it's our role, our responsibility to make that call. I've heard it said here in Bible classes a few times that's whittling on God's end of the stick, right? That's the idea of we don't have all the information. We don't know everyone's motives. We don't know everyone's heart, but He does. Now, where this all gets sticky and where it has become such a big debate in our day is the idea that people don't want any kind of criticism at all. It's not something that's enjoyable to endure criticism. It's not something that we like to do. I mean, literally, can anybody raise their hand and say, I really enjoy a healthy dose of criticism? We don't, right? We run from criticism. We don't want to be criticized. And when we are very quick to jump up and defend ourselves. And so we see that a lot. I see that a lot in small children. And when one has a criticism to offer to the other, well, then there is an equal and opposite criticism hurled back in the other direction, and we really don't grow out of that, do we? It's just that the topics change, the words that are spoken change. The mindset, the heart, though, is the same. We don't like to be criticized. And so we've taken that idea of criticism and turned it into judgment, and now the phrases that you'll hear are things like, you have no right to judge me for what I'm doing or what I've said or how I live my life. You who are you to come in here and judge me? And the Bible verses get thrown around. The one from Matthew chapter 7, to judge not, lest you be judged. Right? And so even the Bible says not to judge. And so you see that kind of averse reaction to criticism, and we've turned it into this culture where nobody can offer any kinds of helpful suggestions to anybody at any time, because it's just going to be perceived as judgment, and it's going to be rejected. But whatever form of help you're trying to offer is going to be rejected. And then there's the other side of the coin, where when the people start talking about, yeah, the Bible says that we're not to judge, then there's the people that react and respond to that and say, well, the Bible also says that we're to judge with righteous judgment, that we are to judge in this particular kind of situation. And a lot of times in that case, we forget that when Jesus spoke those words, he's speaking those words to a group of unreasonable people who think that he has a demon and who are seeking to kill him because he healed a man on the Sabbath. That was the story that Douglas read for us just a few moments ago. The man who sat there, the guy who had been paralyzed for 38 years, and Jesus told him to take up his pallet and walk. And by doing that on the Sabbath, the people got really angry and they sought to kill him. And he started talking to them about that and the inconsistency of all of that. And he says, Moses told you to circumcise the baby boys on the eighth day. Well, what if the eighth day falls on a Sabbath? You still circumcise him, don't you? And so when he says judge with righteous judgment, he's essentially saying to a group of unreasonable people who believe that he has a demon and are trying to kill him, come on, use your head, use common sense. Look at what's really going on here. Don't just look at the appearance of things. Look at what's really going on, and use your smarts. Use your common sense to determine what is true here. He's not, in that sense, defending the idea that, yes, in certain situations and at many times, it is your responsibility to judge others. And James falls in line with that. He says it's not our place. There's only one lawgiver and judge. And who are you who judge your neighbor? We see this a whole lot in our world today. And a lot of it surrounds the things that we see and hear from things going on in our culture, in our communities, news posts about some decision that's been made or some statement that's been made or some tweet that's been sent out, and then everybody loses their minds. And judgment is absolutely the very first thing that comes to their mind. The very first thing that they want to do. To judge intent, to judge motive, to judge the hearts. And Jesus tried to tell us, and James is trying to reiterate that fact, that there's really no place for that in the disciple of Jesus. There's really no place for us to decide when it's okay for us to climb up on top of the judgment seat and render a decision. And especially when it comes to the people who are seated among us right now. Our brothers and sisters in Christ, the ones that we're closest to. One of our other students in the class made the comment that maybe if we could work on not judging the people who are closest to us, who we know the best, then maybe we'd get better about not judging the people that we don't know and are not close with. Thought that was pretty insightful. Because if we're being honest, many of the times that we feel so judgmental of others, is it not with the ones that we are closest to, the ones that we spend the most time around, even our own family members at times? James has said in a couple of different places, it shouldn't be this way. Quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. That ought to describe me as a father. It ought to describe me as a husband. It ought to describe me as a preacher. It ought to describe me as just a member of this body. It ought to describe me as a parent in a community of other parents. It ought to describe me as, get this, a softball coach. Yeah, that's coming up. It ought to describe me as a citizen, as a driver. It ought to describe me in literally every possible conceivable way that I go about living my life, claiming to be a follower of Jesus Christ. But why would James have to say these things to these people if it weren't hard to stay away from that kind of mindset? It's just really easy to jump to a quick conclusion based on the way that a person nearby has driven their car dangerously close to mine. It's very easy to completely write that person off as if they're not human, isn't it? If they were really human and if they really had a heart and if they really were a good person, then they would have never done what they did. A brother or sister in Christ says something that maybe they meant nothing by it. Maybe they did. We really don't know. But the way it came across, it didn't sound right and it kind of hurt my feelings a little bit. And it's very easy, isn't it, to say, well, you know, he said that because he knew that I was going through this situation over here. He knew the problem that I was having, and he said that because, you know, he really wanted to rub my face in it. Or she said that because, you know, she's always thinking that, I don't even know what the right scenarios are to put on this without spilling the beans on the things that I do too frequently. But you know the kinds of thoughts and conversations that we have with each other. And James is saying, brethren, these things ought not be this way. Whatever happened to the idea of believing the best in people? You know, love does that. The Apostle Paul, when he wrote about love and how he characterized it, love bears all things. It believes all things. I don't think that means that love is naive and believes whatever it's told. But love believes the best in people, assumes the best of motives until it becomes painfully obvious that conclusion is inaccurate. James says we got to get out of the judgment seat. We got to get out of the judgment seat, especially when it comes to each other. And if we can learn how to do that, well, as the student said this morning, then maybe, just maybe, we can learn how to love our neighbors as we love our Lord, as we love each other, as we love ourselves. Now, certainly, I don't want to leave with the impression that I'm saying that there's never a time where we can offer some kind of instruction, some kind of criticism. Jesus does tell us that we'll be able to look at the fruit in people and tell, in general, what kind of person they are. And based on that fruit, and based on the passage in Matthew 7 where he talks about don't judge or you'll be judged in the same way. He goes on to say that we really want to help people with the specks that are in their eyes. We want to help people with the challenges and the issues that they face. We want to assist other people in carrying their loads. We want to lift those burdens. We want to help people get rid of their sin. But we've just got to be very careful not to cross over that line between offering assistance, offering guidance, offering instruction, offering criticism, and going the extra step and trying to step into the place of one who is able to save or destroy. One who's able to judge in the way that God can judge. He alone knows what each person is going through, and He alone will be able to judge righteously in each and every case. And I believe that Scripture teaches that our God will judge as mercifully as He possibly can judge. And I'm thankful for that. I am very thankful that we have a judge who has promised to be as merciful with us as He possibly can be. And I pray that we as a people can begin to imitate that and be more merciful to each other and more gracious and kind and loving. It starts with us right here and then it can spread to the whole world. We have an example of that. We go back and read through the book of Acts, and we have an example of how something starts with 120 people. It's about how many people we have here today. And it spreads to the whole world. We have an opportunity to help our world see the beauty of Jesus living inside of us every single day. What are we going to do with that opportunity? Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you so much for the day that you've given to us. We're thankful for so many answered prayers. The sick babies getting better and being able to be with us today. We're so thankful for Miss Sue Greenwell being able to return to her place at Salem Place. And there's just so many other examples of that where you have been with us and you have shown us your love and compassion and grace. And we're just so thankful, Father, for what you've done. And Father, we ask that you will help us as we think about the words of James this morning, as we think about the words of Jesus, as we strive to allow you to be the one who gives the law and you to be the one who judges the hearts of others. When we see things and perceive them to be as hurtful or harsh, may we believe the very best in others. And then may we, on the flip side, question our own motives. Joe made a great comment in class recently about that, about us believing the very best in other people and then questioning and challenging our own motives each day. And may we strive to do that, Father. We don't want to be the kind of people who look out and believe that we've got it all figured out, that we know what everybody's thoughts are, what their motives are, what their intentions are. We don't know what they're going through. We don't know what challenges they're trying to overcome, but you know it all perfectly. And so, Father, help us to just have patience with everyone, especially with those within our own body here. Help us to show kindness and love and grace and mercy. Help us, Father, to lift each other up and not tear each other down. Help us to be a family that serves each other each day, that looks for opportunities to put ourselves beneath another person so that we can lift them up. Help us to be a people who rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. And Father, please forgive us for all the times when we failed to do these things. Please forgive us and cleanse us and wash us of all the times when we have gone too far, when we've stopped too short. And help us each day, Father, more and more to try to look more like Jesus and to let His beauty be seen in us. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. If you're here this morning and not part of the body of Jesus Christ, then certainly we want to make a time available for you to make that decision, to make the right choice and to choose Jesus. He's the only way. He's the only truth. He's the only life. And there is nothing that can be found that is good and alive apart from Him. And there are, I can imagine, in any group this size, there are going to be people who have not made that choice yet. And there's got to be something that's holding you back from that. Maybe I don't know enough. We'd love to help you with that. Maybe it's because you've done some things that are just so awful that you can't imagine them ever be forgiven. I can probably share worse. That's not a statement of pride. It's a statement of just knowing how far down I have fallen in this life so many times, only to realize how amazing it feels when God can and does forgive us of those things. We'd love to talk to you about that. Whatever it is that might be holding you back, There's a way to overcome it. There's a way to work through it. And what you'll have here is a loving family of people who would love to walk that journey with you. And we want to make sure that you know that now is the right time, the best time, to make a decision to follow Jesus Christ, to give Him your life, to put those broken pieces into His hands, and to watch the beautiful thing that He makes from it. If you're ready to commit your life to God through faith in Jesus Christ, if you're ready to be buried with Christ in baptism, to have your sins washed away, and to become the handiwork of God, ready to do the works that He's prepared for you to do, then certainly we want to invite you to come as we stand and sing this song to encourage you.